our happy fucking happy hour. This is already the weirdest, most delightful happy hour ever with award-winning actress Frances Fisher, and she brought a bag of fucking dogs, which is... What? Oh, my God. Look. Okay, what are their names?
This is August, the Chihuahua, and this is Batman, the Chihuahua poodle mix.
Right.
And they're my service dogs.
They are like people in the forest after World War II. They will not come out of that goddamn bag. Right. You got here, and I was like, oh, come play with Max and Friend. They're like, I'm not getting out of here. They got out of the bag for a second. They were like, no, we're going back in. World War II is not over.
They were outside walking in, and they saw Max and Fred, and they just had that, like, one paw up, just like, I'm not taking another step. Like,
No.
They froze. Yeah.
They like it in their little home.
This is their safe zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that. I thought it was going to be a whole fucking fun play date, Sean, in the yard. I was like, come on, everybody, here we go. And they were like...
They're each as big as one of your dog's heads.
We're like, humana,
I know,
humana,
Batman
humana, humana.
Is like half the size of their heads.
Wait, the Chihuahua is who?
This is August.
August, okay, so this is what August
my
did.
My daughter's birthday.
Max, who's, you know, like 1,000 pounds, roughly.
Probably,
not that big.
Yeah.
He came to say hi, and this was August. Let me just a quick impression. August just went... That was it. That was the whole interaction. He was like, just a little, right? But they're, look at that. That's fantastic. You rescued them. Look, they're sleeping already.
They're bored.
Oh, my God.
They come with me everywhere.
Listen, we're so excited. We're going to shit ourselves, aren't we, that you're here? I've gotten to meet you a couple of times. We have a mutual friend, Catherine. We just met at her birthday party. John Fugelsang said to you,
you're going to love Stephanie. I can't believe you don't know her yet.
That's not true. You're not going to love
me.
But my point is, I've just been such a huge fan of yours, not just as a you know, professionally, but politically. You're a big political activist. You were a big Bernie girl, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still am.
Well,
you know,
Catherine said that you had to have a little detente because she's a big Hillary girl like me. And so,
well,
how are you?
You know, the thing is, you know, we can differ in our views. There's nothing wrong with that. You still love people.
Of course.
Your friends, your friends.
Of
you know?
Course.
And I like to hear other points of view, so it keeps me from being so locked into my own.
Don't
know?
Be as scared as your dogs of the microphone. Get right on top of the microphone.
Oh,
thank
really?
You so much.
Get
yes.
right on top of it.
I am not going to make any dick jokes to an award-winning actress. I know.
Is that better?
That is fucking hot. She's not one, but she played a Les once, and so this is hot for all of us. I was at a dinner party, and I know you've never heard jokes like that, but I was like, oh, I'm on the wrong side of the table if I was on the Titanic, because you're over there, waka, 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 and you're like, whatever, doofus. Right. Because I just felt like, oh, fuck, I'm on the wrong side for the lifeboats.
Well,
waka, 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 waka.
It didn't matter. It's kind of like this country. We're going down no matter what.
Isn't this like Titanic all over again?
Oh, my Lord.
What the fuck? Have you been watching this Republican
it's
convention?
It's shocking. It's like a witch hunt.
Okay, the underwear model called the president a Muslim, and Chachi called Hillary a cunt.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Your thoughts for your country, Frances Fisher?
We're going down. We've gone down already. Nobody just admits it yet.
There's no lifeboats. There's nothing.
There's no lifeboats.
There's no lifeboats for rich people, poor people, nothing. We're all fucked.
Mars,
good night,
baby.
Everybody. Frances Fisher was here for just for an inspirational show.
Canada,
okay.
Costa Rica.
What? I don't even know where to fucking start with you. What? So when did you get political? When did you get sort of activist like that? All that stuff.
All my life. I remember, you know, marching.
Did you just say golly while wearing a straw fucking hat? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You have a photograph of Goldwater over your right
shoulder.
That's
my father. My father ran with Goldwater in 64. That's why. That's that Miller.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Right.
So you've been political all your life.
Yes. Well, no. I wanted to be Carol Burnett, and all my dreams died. And you at least played Lucille Ball.
Yep.
I forgot that one. All right, we'll get to all your shit. But oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God. She was so great as Lucy. Yeah, Anyway.
Well, I got super involved, you know, the ERA amendment. Remember? Like, why isn't anybody talking about the ERA anymore? Yeah. Like, we need to get that freaking thing passed.
Right. We could be on the verge of the first female president, and we still fucking have the...
And nobody, nobody who's been running has mentioned it, not even the Democrats, anyway. But they have bigger fish to fry, I guess, than equal rights for women.
Are your dogs on Klonopin? What are they on? Are they on some sort of doggy downers, or are they just like that?
That's just the way they are. They can be frisky when they feel safe, but right now they're in a studio. Right. They go, okay, mommy's doing her work.
Mommy's doing the thing with the lights again. Mommy's doing the thing with the lights that buys the kibble. Just lay here. Oh, my God. Okay, can I just say, if you only have the audio cast, you got to get the video cast, because those dogs are just, what the fuck? I feel like, do you do a Sally Struthers impression? I just, or no, I'm sorry. Can we play In the Arms of the Angels?
Oh, no.
In the arms of, if you send Francis Fisher just 2 cents, you can save these bag dogs. You can get them, the dog psychiatrist here in Hollywood, to get them to come out of their bag. It's not World War II, Japanese soldiers. It's over now. You are free. You are free. You don't have headphones on because your jaunty hat, but we're playing Arms of the Angels. Oh, look. Send Francis Fisher just a penny a year. And these dogs, they're a really good, you know, Sean, I'm fucking around. There's good dog psychiatrists in Hollywood. This is how you know you live in Hollywood. My friend once, I said, can you go for a hike? She goes, no, I have to take my acting teacher's dog to the acupuncturist.
Oh, no.
I was like, I live in Hollywood. All right. I do indeed live in Hollywood. Wow. Oh, my God. Look, he's out of the bag.
He's out of the bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
The dog's out of the bag now. Wow. That is brave.
Yeah, he just got his summer cut.
I want to see you be brave. Oh. Okay, I feel like I'm at the Hillary winning the nomination night. I want to see you be brave. Okay, Francis Fisher, what the fuck? Where do we start? So when did you get political? When did you get to... oh my God, you're fanning yourself like on the Titanic.
It's hot in here.
Ma, I have a bonnet. Can you turn up the air? We have two fucking postmenopausal chicks in here. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Oh, God. I remember marching for Planned Parenthood, you know, all that. And didn't really ramp it up until around 2006 when we walked the halls for H.R. 808 to create a Department of Peace in Washington, D.C., because I think we need somebody at the table.
Marion Williamson.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. With Dennis Kucinich. And then I helped her on her campaign. And then, you know, when I heard Bernie speak for the first time, I just went, this guy has been consistent in everything he's believed in for the last 40 years.
That's true.
And I got behind him.
And I got to say, I was a doubter. I was like, what the fuck's Bernie doing? Why is he conceding or endorsing her? And I got it. But I did, right, Sean? I apologized. I said, he was a Bernie guy. I said, we have the most progressive platform in our history. And that's what he was doing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Now he's endorsed her. And, you know, like, I was like, okay, I get it. Because we all win. We have the most progressive platform we've ever had.
Yeah. And, yeah, even though some people say that the platform doesn't mean anything, it's a good bellwether.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to hold on to. And also, he's brought millions of people into the party.
That dog's obviously a little on the fence about Glass-Steagall. That dog's a little nervous about what shit's going to happen now.
As long as he gets his kibble.
So, now wait a minute. You said you're wearing the jaunty straw hat because you had a shoot. You feel like your hair is a mess because you had a shoot for what now?
Oh yeah. No, I had a hair and wardrobe test yesterday for this new deal I'm doing called American Girl Melody, which takes place in 1963 during the Civil Rights Movement. And I play a teacher who helps a little black girl who's bullied in school. And it's beautifully
That's
written.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's
yeah.
not American Girl, the doll place.
It's well, yes, the dolls.
Oh,
that,
it is?
Because yeah.
I went to a terrifying birthday party from my my friend's daughter there, where we all had to have some fucking creepy doll sitting next to us. And it was freaking.
Yeah.
I don't have kids.
And the and girls wear the same outfits.
Yeah.
As
oh,
the, yeah. My daughter
freaky.
Had all of them because she
okay.
loved them.
I apologize.
No,
I apologize.
That's okay. I mean, you know, it's, to each his own.
I'm sure your daughter's not freaky. Own. I just found it freaky.
Yeah.
I found it very Chucky, very...
But you know, I get it. Now that I look back, I go, I didn't have to buy her every single doll and every single outfit and every single
you're
furniture
You're like, Mama's
outfit.
Got some Titanic money.
That's, exactly. Exactly. And like when she grew up, I just gave them all away for nothing. But some little girls all over the country are happy with all that stuff I gave
I know.
Away.
It's true.
And also, though, it's historical. You know, every girl represents a certain period in history
yeah.
where the girls learn about what's going on. Like all the girls who are going to watch this show are
right.
going to learn about the civil rights movement and the four little black girls who were bombed in
yeah.
Birmingham. And, you know, it's parallel to what's going on now.
Yeah.
The needle hasn't moved that much.
I totally get your passion for Bernie. I have a lot of friends, but aren't you getting a little excited that we'll have the first female president in our history?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
But,
all right. Okay.
But
she's in, you know, denial still, bargaining, acceptance. Well, you
no,
know, well,
you know, I don't think it's about gender after all, but I get it. I get why people are excited.
I'm
I get
excited.
Why people were excited about Barack Obama.
Me too.
I
was Barack. I was totally, I was called a, you know, that I did, I was, had ejected my vagina from my body because I was not for Hillary last time. I was
right?
for Obama.
Yeah. It's just, it's so silly because.
And my vagina's there. I don't use it, Francis, but it's there.
Oh, really?
It's
but
not
it's
doing
all,
anything. It's hanging
the,
out.
It's
but
like the this right. is a suit of clothes we all wear, you know. And to me, that's all it is. It's what's going on inside that's the important
right.
thing.
Right.
And God, I had a really, and it just went after you said you didn't have a vagina. Everything
I know,
I was
I'm sorry.
Just
I didn't
went
mean to
out
throw you off
window.
There. I'm sorry. Was that inappropriate?
Yeah. No, it's no judgment. No judgment.
No.
It's,
No, just about where we are in our history, that we're either going to choose this horribly racist, sexist, homophobic lynch mob we see on that side,
terrible.
Or we're going to choose our better angels. And
yeah.
You know,
or
yeah.
we could have had the first Jewish president, too. I mean, you know, it was not for nothing.
That would have been historic as well.
That would have been historic, too. But,
yeah. I, you know, having been called a vagina voter a lot, you know, I wavered because I'm a Libra. And I... Yeah. John Fugel sang it, and I do
really...
a bit in Sexy Liberal where I interview my vagina and he plays the voice of my vagina and he says, Seymour, feed me socialism. And so my vagina is for Bernie. And I do a thing about if I had a yeast infection, would it turn into a bagel? But that's, you know what? That's beneath you. That is beneath you because you are an award winning actress. Let's talk about that. All right, wait. How old is Francesca? Francesca's your daughter that you spoke about that you. You have spawned.
Yeah, I
good
spawned her.
Good.
I have one spawn. She's 22. She'll be 23 in August.
Wow.
That's why her dog is named August.
Aww.
Yeah, and she's in a movie right now that's closing tomorrow night.
She's an actress, too?
She's an actress,
wow.
yeah. Her first starring role is in Outlaws and Angels, where she plays a little prairie girl who turns into an outlaw. And I'm really proud of her because she actually traversed that rough terrain in the Western and made it her own and
wow.
did a really, really good job.
So her dad's Clint Eastwood, her mom's Frances Fisher, so she just felt like, fuck it, company business.
She resisted it all her life because everybody
yeah.
assumed she would go
right.
into the family business. So she said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do right. fashion or business or whatever. But then she did a couple of jobs and she just said, Mommy, I love this so much.
Right.
She's used to being on a set. She knows
right.
how to,
right.
you know,
grew
deal
up
with
on
all the
problem.
Players.
Yeah.
yeah. Grew up pretty much. Yeah.
Now, you know that I would never want you to talk shit about anybody.
Oh, God. Here it comes.
Did Clint always talk to chairs? To empty chairs?
Don't
like,
you wish?
Honey, what the fuck are you doing? Or was this new? What have? And wait a minute. So you're a lefty. Were his politics always that? And what was that like? You were together 1990 to 95?
About 6 years, yeah.
Okay. yeah.
Yeah. We met in 88, I think, on Pink Cadillac.
Oh. Yeah.
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 Mm. And no, you know, we never really talked politics. In fact, we both voted for Ross Perot the year he ran. So I figured, okay, he's moving. He's moving
right.
more center.
Right.
But don't we all wish Clint was on that stage right now? That seemed
who would
like
have
a
thought that that would have
breath of fresh
not
air.
That crazy compared to... But did you watch that and just some part of your brain go, honey, what the fuck, honey, what are you doing?
I felt bad for him. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, the RNC doesn't vet their material.
Oh, clearly
not. He never
not.
Wrote a speech, obviously. Right. And obviously...
Who was that plagiarized from?
Yeah, exactly. And then this thing on, you know, Melania.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a travesty.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody vets speeches?
Yes. I thought she was going to start doing lines from Titanic.
Well, you saw the Twitter feed of, right. you know, Melania's.
I am also the king of the world. And I write this. Good night. I want you to have the blue. What's the fucking thing called? The blue? Whatever.
Heart of the ocean.
I want you to have. I want America to have the heart of the ocean. And you will die in your sleep. Good night. And also, my heart will go on.
I kind of think that it was kind of like a code for please help get me out of here.
Please help me. It was like Morse card. Morse code, please.
Help me. Yeah. I'm drawing attention to myself because I'm trapped here.
I could almost see it in her eyes during that speech. Yes. Like, yes. Just her saying help.
What help? It's a cry for help.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I'm 50
is a cry
to be
for help.
Sent back.
What?
She can't wait till she's 50 to be sent back.
Oh, I know, right?
In a box for the
They're going to need a new fembot.
Yeah, newer model. Literally.
But she is beautiful.
She is beautiful. She's stunning.
You know what I think happened? I believe she hypnotized the audience after all that negative shit that went on.
Mm-hmm.
She just came out and just hypnotized everybody with her beauty. And
right.
And it's like, what is this? And
they're like, wow. You know, this does not sound at all like Michelle Obama's 2008 speech. No, it does not. All right, so let's get into the shit. So Clint Eastwood. What was it like being married to Clint Eastwood?
Oh, come on now.
No, but I mean, you were saying that his politics, were yours as pronounced?
Not back then.
Okay.
I was not as active.
Okay.
Because, you know, I just wasn't. I was more into my acting and
right.
Little things here and there. I've become more active as I've gotten older because as Gloria Steinem says,
yes.
you just
right?
don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
You just say what you think. And after you get to a certain age, you've kind of earned it because you've lived so long.
Right.
And you can be a little crotchety and you can be a little outspoken and people... either ignore you or go, okay.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What, I don't even know where to start here. So, because we've been talking about sort of female feminist stuff, but I was laughing about, because didn't you play somebody's mother that you were like 8 years older than? Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, like, isn't this the shit in Hollywood? Like, remember, you know, Sally Field
Manchurian
played, you know, Tom Hanks' love interest and then his mother, like, 2 years later.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that happen?
And Angela Lansbury in The Manchurian Candidate, right. You know, and Dustin Hoffman and in The Graduate, you
right.
know, she was a lot, barely old enough to be his sister.
Right.
You know, the way I looked at it is that my character had so much plastic surgery that she looked a lot younger than what she was. And in fact,
right.
I love the line that I got to say to
this
Pierce
was Laws
Brosnan.
Of Attraction, everybody. Yeah. Laws of Attraction with Julianne Moore.
Laws yeah. of Attraction. And Pierce says, tell me, are you really 54? And I just kind of coyly say, well, parts of me are.
So, where do we start? Yeah, in 1989, as you said, you appeared in Pink Cadillac aside Clint Eastwood. That's when you began your relationship. And then you did Unforgiven, which was your fucking amazing.
Yeah,
great with script. Clint, of course. Yeah,
great script
directed by him. And so, what is that like working with the person that you're married to or with?
His talent is as a director and a producer. He's fantastic on the set.
Yeah.
He's great. So relaxed. trusts actors, says, you know, I hired you. I trust that you can do the job. And easygoing. I mean, we never went into overtime. Did a couple of takes. Sometimes he would shoot the rehearsal without us knowing it. He's that relaxed. And it's the only set that's quiet that I've ever worked on. The ADs just kind of, you know, instead of going rolling, you know, sounds, they just move their finger in a circle. For those on you in radio, I'm not fucking anybody.
No, I understand. She's just moving her finger in a weird way.
Shows rolling. But it's so quiet, so respectful. I've never seen that kind of respect on a set.
And did he actually say things like, did we shoot 5 or 6 takes?
He never gets up to 6.
Do you feel lucky, punk? Okay.
All right. Maybe one or two.
All right, I had to do that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
I heard that.
Okay, all right. But anyway, so you were saying that, like, politics were just not a thing because you're right. Like, he's so now famously identified with this right-wing thing, and you're identified with, you know, being a big Bernie left-wing person. But you were saying that that was not an issue in your marriage. You didn't. Politics was not really a...
No, that wasn't what we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, it was mostly the business. We worked out a lot together, cooked.
Did he? What kind of working out? This is fantastic. What'd you do?
He's got a home gym, kind of like yours. Wow. You know, like a huge... huge home gym, never had to leave the house. You know, just get in there and turn the news on, whatever, and just
just pump iron, just pumped away. Get those hot actor bodies, fucking hot. And then you put on the soundtrack. Hey, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm just making shit up now. Okay, okay. So let's look at what else. Okay, so.
You have my IMDb there? Is that
I have all the shit here. I mean, you've done so much. True Crime with Eastwood. You played the DA. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. That was Francesca's first little speaking role that she got to play his daughter in that movie. Yeah. And, yeah, there was a really interesting... This is how quick Clint is. She's playing his daughter. And she's supposed to be in a little stroller, and he's running really fast through the zoo to, like, take her out on a kid play date,
right,
and get it over with. And she falls out of the stroller and starts crying, of course, and comes home to the mother all cut up, and the mother's pissed off at him because he didn't take care of her. Well, you know, you break things up into shots. So we came back from lunch. Francesca and I walked over to the set, and she saw her stand-in sitting in the stroller. And they were practicing her doing the stunt.
Right.
And she thought that somebody else had been hired for her job.
Oh.
Now, she was 5 years old.
You're like, no, honey, that's a stunt person. We treat them like shit. Yeah, it's okay.
But she didn't understand it. All she saw was another little girl in her stroller in the same outfit doing the move. And she burst into tears, cried, screaming, had a tantrum. Clint saw that. He grabbed his cameraman and said, get over here and shoot this right now. So they shot the aftermath of her falling out of the stroller before she'd actually done it because she had real tears.
Wow, that's
was
a
crying.
Really...
I mean, it was so good.
That's a really good director, bad father. But that's... Yeah. Wow, get this. She's really upset.
Well, it's so now, better than pinching her, right, to make her cry.
Speaking of pain, let's talk about Titanic. So when you were tightening Kate Winslet's corset, did she, with her outtakes where she was like, you fucking bitch, that's too hard. Jesus Christ, you fucker. Fucking squinched my liver. I'm just asking.
Oh, I don't have any funny comebacks for this. You're like a one-girl show here.
Sorry. No, was that? I mean, that, I have to say, it was one of my favorite films of all time. I'm a hopeless romantic, even though I'm an elderly single loser that lives in my basement. Yeah. But I'm a really hopeless romantic, which is a weird... It's right. It's so sad.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, I love that movie so much. It might have been one of my favorite movies ever.
And really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you are a romantic.
I am.
Yeah, and, I did it for that scene.
But you were a fucking bitch, whore, cow in that movie, maybe,
well,
lady.
Well, you know, what I was saying...
I mean that in the nicest way. It was good acting.
When little girls would come up to me and scream, I hate you, you're so mean, for like 2 years after it came out, I would stop and I'd go, young lady, let me educate you. In that,
you know what, my
time,
heart will go on, you little bitch, but yours might not, because I'm gonna...
I'd say women didn't have the right to vote.
Right.
You know, they blah, blah, blah. Right. I give them the whole spiel.
Right, you had to marry some rich douchebag.
Yeah.
So you fucking get it together, you little whore. Oh, I'm
go
just
out and get a job.
I don't know how good you have it.
But, I mean, when you were filming it, did you have a sense it was going to be that big? Or
no, nobody did, really. Yeah. I mean, it was big. I mean, it's the only movie I've ever worked on.
You know what? By the way, I'm just so happy that your dog is alive, because I was like, I was about to go, clear, everybody. Okay. God damn it, that dog's alive. Okay. Because that dog seemed, okay.
It's the only movie I've worked on that had two first ADs. It was that big.
Yeah.
You know, one who spoke English and one who spoke Spanish to take care of all the background players. And yeah, it was great though. It was a sight to behold.
Yeah.
You know, to go to work every night, you know, with the lights all on. And
how did like they film that when, I mean, how, what was that then? What all we see, the ship sinking, like what were you?
I was
how
in my dressing room. I wasn't part of all that, right?
But how does that work? Like, was it, you went on an actual, was it all green screen? Were you on a ship? Like, what?
Oh, yeah, they built an entire side of a ship in Rosarito Beach, you know, almost to scale. It was like maybe 5% off. I don't know why they made it that way, but they did. So there was a combination of models and reality.
Wow.
Like the poop deck when it went up and Kate and Leo were hanging there and they're seeing everybody sliding down. That's all real. That they actually had $2 million hydraulic lifts to lift the poop deck up to that angle.
Wow.
It was fascinating. Just fascinating. I've got all my Super 8 footage somewhere because I was, even when I wasn't working, I'd go behind the scenes.
I bet.
And my favorite stuff was... I went in when they all the dead bodies were floating around, you know, with the ice all over them and the dead babies and
gross.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's lunchtime.
You're like, lunchtime, so hang on, let me get a selfie.
Stand up. That's way before selfies. But then you'd see everybody stand up in the tank because the tank was about 4 feet high. Okay. So all the dead bodies would come to life. They'd stand up and then they would file their way out over the side and go to lunch, and they'd be sitting in hot tubs to stay warm because they were wet, you know.
Right.
And it's go by.
That is like a zombie apocalypse.
It was like a
craft services zombie apocalypse.
Smoking their cigarettes and eating their sandwiches.
Give me a goddamn
all dead. It was the most bizarre sight. It was great.
I have to say it was my favorite. It was the most romantic movie in history, but there was the thing at the end where Kate Wins is just like, all right, get off my wood. All right. Okay. All right. Get off. So I can go.
They could have taken turns.
I'll always love you.
Right.
Bye-bye. Gurgle, gurgle. See ya.
They could have taken turns. They could have.
They could have, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's a little fucking grabby with that wood. So now everyone says, I know you can't say this, but that James Cameron's a dick.
I loved working with him. It's, you know, some disgruntled people may have had issues with him. I don't know if it was on this movie or not, but he was a pure pleasure to work with. And if you gave 100%, he would come back at you with that. Yeah, he was great.
And what was Leonardo DiCaprio like at that point?
Oh God, so
in
sweet.
His career. Was he?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see what he's turned into, who he's turned into.
Right.
He just gave $15 million to animal charities, you know, from his foundation.
Yeah.
He's an amazing environmentalist. I'm so happy
for
how he has used his success to benefit lots of, you know, sentient beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the whole climate change thing, you know.
And you're not just referring to supermodels, which that's totally just them too. Them too. They need to breathe, Sean.
Yeah.
Supermodels need to breathe air.
Out. Yeah. He's looking out for
because they
too.
Don't eat. They need air.
They need air. They're aeritarians. Or breatharians. Breatharians is that what they're called?
Yes, they're breatharians.
They just breathe.
Yeah. No, one of my friends is an aeritarian. That's all she eats is air, pretty much.
Well, in this town, you can actually chew it.
Yes. What is that like? How do you look like this still? What look, you're just eating air popped popcorn and drinking water. What is your life like? Is it's almost like a chain gang, right? But you get to be in big films.
Well, smoking and drinking, and then going back to vegan and a little bit of everything, you know?
Tito still smokes. Stop smoking.
No. You see me?
No.
You see me? No.
Okay. No. That no. dog appears to be dead again. Both of them do, but that's okay.
They're okay. Very relaxed.
All right. So, but let's talk about Unforgiven. That was an amazing role, amazing film for you.
Yeah, it was great to be up in Canada because they built an entire town. And 360 degrees, you didn't see anything but landscape. It was as if we were living in the middle of the Western...
Right. Yeah.
Western countryside.
Yeah.
It was great.
So many, I don't even know where to go. House of Sand and Fog, another Academy Award, nominated, you know,
yeah,
film.
Yeah, that was terrific. You know, it's interesting as Vadim Perelman was waiting at an airport and picked up a book and started reading it. And it was House of Sand and Fog. And he found out that the rights were available and made it into a movie. So right. You just never know where the material is going to come
right.
from.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a
Do you have any porn movie. Music, Sean? Let's talk
porn
about,
music.
You appeared in the film Jolene with Jessica Chastain as your lover.
Now,
I recall that one. What?
Is that porn music?
No, there's no. Oh, here it is. Okay, now there's porn. I'm just saying. No, it's good. All right.
I was thinking Barry White.
All right. Listen, anyone that's even played a Les, I'm on for. Francis
yeah,
Fisher's
I tried to make it like it was my first time, but nobody believed me. Because I figured to be a guard in a woman's prison.
Right, it's
like,
your first
what
time.
Makes you,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's like anything the Trump campaign says. Okay, so wait a minute. That's anyway, I bought that role. That's why I'm hoping for a great after party. We'll see. Anyway, Francis. Oh my God, you started in soaps, which I didn't know until I read this.
Yeah.
You started in Edge of the Night.
Edge of Night.
As Deborah Red Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do they have to do that because of your hair?
The Edge of Night. No, I think that was the nickname they gave me since I was the one cast. But they called me Red. You know, everybody called me Red because I was a
right.
undercover cop on a soap opera. Went in disguise.
You were an undercover angel.
The bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, then you moved on to another show, Guiding Light. Also Guiding Light.
Yeah.
Right?
Same name.
Wow.
Different character, but.
Wow.
You know,
as it's Suzette Saxon.
Yeah. That, mm-hmm. You know, in New York, that was how we got our money. You know, I was doing theater all the time, which paid like $125 a week.
Right.
So I had to supplement my income by doing a soap opera.
Right.
The daytime job.
Yeah.
So
no, I know lots of friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there an organist on set or something?
No, they do what you do. You know, they just push a button.
Right.
And then there goes the organ music.
Here's a plot development.
Yeah.
That the organ has told us. Okay. But you're fancy. You did theater, you actor studio, Lee Strasberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I started in
while
theater.
You're shoving popcorn in front of your dead dog. I'm just talking about your very fancy.
I started in theater. I started actually in community theater in Orange, Texas, and I
saw that. Yeah, that's fantastic. That must have been very highbrow. I played the nurse in Streetcar Named Desire in the Edinburgh Theater Festival.
Oh, my God. You had to wait all that time to come on at the end and just
right. It was a very long dramatic stage walk, Francis, which I would not denigrate if I were you because it was really quite striking in Edinburgh in 1982. And I would like to do it for you now.
Beautiful.
Blanche.
Well done.
Stop fucking. Oh my God. Stop
you.
Stealing
okay.
focus.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I have always
okay.
depended
everybody
on the
and,
kindness
okay.
of
no!
strangers.
Fuck. God damn it.
Okay. I'll be quiet. Go.
You're Blanche. Blanche, it's time. That was it. That's my line. Thank you.
And then,
I can't believe you fucking fucked up my line. I only had one goddamn line. It wasn't kindness to strangers time. It was time to go time. Jesus fucking
well,
Christ,
you weren't
Fred
doing
Fisher.
The walk. I thought you blanked
no,
out.
No, it was a very long stage walk with a spotlight. And then I got to say, Blanche's time. Okay. Christ. God damn it. Just, you know, they don't teach sharing, I guess, with Strasburg. They don't teach yes and. Just, you're going to fucking blurt out just lying about strangers right in the middle of my goddamn stage walk, Sean.
I'm having a moment.
Okay. So, all right. But wait a minute. Let's talk about, you did a lot of shit. You started
I have
bartender.
Done a lot of shit.
Well, listen, let's talk about that later. Bartender Savannah at the Lobo in the first season of Roseanne.
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember
yeah,
that.
That was, I don't barely remember it either. And George Clooney was in it. It was before he had anything mm-hmm. going on. And
you're like,
that's
that
where
loser.
We became
friends. What's he going to do?
Yeah, I know. I send him a little bit every now and then. It potentially could have turned into something, but because they asked me back, but I didn't know how sitcoms worked.
Right.
I didn't know that if they asked me back that it may become like a regular role or something like that.
Right.
So I just kind of went, nah, I didn't want to come back and pretend to tend bar. And
yeah.
I wanted a bigger role. I didn't understand how the business worked back then.
You were just like, you know, I don't know how many times I can hear, ah, you know what? Pour me a whiskey sour. You're like, you know, I feel like I'm going to end up on a boat somewhere in something
bigger. I'm going to be on a boat. Yeah. Something bigger's happening for me.
You were also, oh my God, this is interesting. You were on Newhart, Matlock, in The Heat of the Night. You were originally cast to play Jill in Home Improvement with Tim Allen.
Oh, God.
In the pilot, but then you were fired.
I was fired. It
due
was
to,
the
due
actor's
to lack
night.
Of chemistry with
yeah,
Tim Allen.
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said. Yeah.
What happened there?
Well,
this is upsetting your dog in the box. By the way, your dog's like, oh, I remember that. The goddamn Tim Allen thing. That was fucked up.
Well,
man.
You know what happened, and this is so unfair. They wrote me a scene for my audition that was so great because it was all about my character.
Right.
And I jumped through all the hoops, you know, to the network and then to the you know, the studio and the network. Then I finally met Tim and did the scene in front of all the big wigs.
Right.
And it was like, I got the job. So then they send me the script, the pilot script, and I'm looking at it. I'm going, where the heck is my character? I didn't know how sitcoms work. I didn't know that I would just be like, you know, setting up the ball for him all
right.
the time.
Right.
And so I went to work, and I didn't know. I just didn't get the format.
Right.
I had not watched much sitcom before. I'd never been on a sitcom
right.
set. So I figured, oh, you know, we've got till Friday till we tape. So I was trying things because
right.
I'm from the theater. So I was trying different ways of doing things.
You're like, and, I'm from the theater. You're
well,
like,
no, it wasn't that bad.
Shut
I'm
the fuck
there.
Up and do the thing. So
well,
Tim,
you know, but
so
I was,
Tim does a ha-ha-ha thing.
Well, yeah,
just
but
do
then
that.
I saw all these, like, got these shadowy figures sitting in the bleachers with
network
suits
people.
On. I didn't know that was who they were either. They looked like Secret Service to me. And, you know, every day I would go home and I would feel worse and worse, like, I think I'm going to get fired. It's the actor's nightmare.
Yes.
And the guy who, you know, was behind the you know, I
right.
can't remember his name. The guy who
oh,
played
on
the
show. Right?
Oh,
the show.
Neighbor.
The
neighbor.
Yeah, the neighbor.
They're like,
yeah,
hey,
I was,
Francis,
like, going,
guess
hey,
what?
Yeah, I think, and you know, who else was on the show? God, my mind, it's like so long ago. The blonde, the beautiful blonde.
Oh, who played the Tool Time Girl?
Tool Time Girl.
Yes.
Pamela,
yeah.
Yeah. So sweet, so sweet. And I talked to both of them. I said, I think I'm going to get fired. Oh, no, no, you're too good.
No,
you
no, no,
and sure
no,
enough, I went
no.
home on Wednesday and got the call. You'll be paid, but you don't have to come back tomorrow.
No,
thank
you don't need to come back.
Yeah.
You can go somewhere and rest.
Yeah.
Where you can hear the pretty birds.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible because I didn't get direction on what to do. You know,
I feel like your entrance was a lot like that dog right there. Like just entirely too serious. Just very like, I was with Strasburg. Just like that dog is trying to come out of that goddamn. Look at that. Look at him. Just very
just
intense.
About it.
Very. I belong in an Academy Award nominated film. I do not belong.
Well, I saw Pat Richardson many years later, and we've since become friends. And it was the meeting because she was waiting in the wings really. That right. was the real story. Right. They just kind of had me in for right. filler till she decided she wanted to do it.
Right.
So she did. So I finally met her, and it was like this moment where we walk up to each other at this grand party, and I look at her, and I went, "You're so rich." And she looked at me and she said, "Yeah, but you got to do Unforgiven." And we became friends.
Yes. It was go. Like a chair. It was a show business Chariots of Fire. I passed the baton to you. You were on Becker as Dr. Elizabeth Carson. You know, but tell me about the, because, you know, Lucy was one of my comedy idols and Lily Tomlin and Carol Burnett. But you were fantastic. Lucy and Desi before the laughter.
Yeah.
Was that intimidating? I mean, to play right a comedy legend?
The interesting thing was, is I had done headshots, you know, way before digital, when everything came out on a contact sheet.
Right.
And I'd done some headshots with a photographer, and then we played around a little bit and did some funny things. And Desmond Child, who's a friend of mine, in an acting class, I brought this stuff in to say, which one should I pick? He goes, "You know, you look like a young Lucille Ball here." And I didn't really know what right. Lucille Ball looked like young.
Right.
So I went to a bookstore one day and started reading about her and became fascinated by her life and who she was before she, you know, became the icon that she became in I Love Lucy. And I just knew in my heart someday I would be playing her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't so much intimidating because I was prepared. I'd done research and yeah. I was ready.
Yeah.
I just wish the script had been better
yeah.
and it had been done on film as opposed to a TV movie.
Yeah. Frances, so wait. You were born in England, the mm-hmm. daughter of American parents.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was an oil refinery construction superintendent.
Yeah.
And then you moved, it says, before you'd moved 9 times before you reached the age of 15 because of your dad's job.
Yeah. He built the first oil refineries in Iran in 1948.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we traveled all over the world. He built steel mills and oil refineries. And so I grew up in many different countries, speaking the language, learning the customs, eating their food, living amongst them. So I never really understood what prejudice was until I moved to Texas in 1965. And
campaign must have special resonance for you with what people are saying around the world and what you've experienced.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, because that was integration, and I couldn't understand why people were upset that those people with the N-word were going to be sitting in chairs next to them.
Yeah.
It was really shocking to me to find that out. So, and that's why I'm so glad that I'm doing this American Girl melody thing tomorrow, actually, know, because we get to explore that, you know, how things have changed a little bit, but they haven't changed that much. I mean, that's why I'm a supporter of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. No, me too. Your mom died when you were 15?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was hard.
What was that like? And you raised your younger brother?
Well, he doesn't think so, but...
But he can just shut the fuck up.
I claim it, yeah. I washed his clothes. I cooked his food. You know, I cleaned the house. Yeah, it was, you know, it was before there were therapists that you could go to and talk to about your pain. So everybody just zipped it up inside of themselves.
Yeah.
And almost pretended as if it had never happened. It was...
What did your mom die of?
Neglect in the hospital. She was one of Dr. DeBakey's first heart valve transplant patients and had was laying in bed for about a year, and it malfunctioned. So she was rushed to the hospital, and she was in critical condition and had to go to... This is the story. Is this okay to talk about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everything's
okay.
Always
cut it out.
Yeah.
She was...
This is
the story I was told, and I was 15 at the time, that... She needed to go to the restroom, and she called for the nurse, and obviously the nurse didn't come, so she got up out of the bed to go to the bathroom, and because she had been laying there for a few days, that she got dizzy and passed out and cracked her skull on the floor.
Okay,
and my father had and my Uncle John had to pull the plug because, they, as they said, that she would be a vegetable.
Yeah.
That's the words that they used.
That's
the
words we used in the
70s.
Yeah.
Vegetable.
Remember Karen Quinlan?
Yeah.
Oh, vegetable. She's a vegetable. Yeah.
It's like, as if that's a bad thing.
Yeah. So, wow. So you went from England then to Texas, which is...
Well, between England and Texas, there was Colombia and Italy and Brazil and Turkey and where else? Canada.
Did that inform you, who you are? I mean, today, obviously. I mean,
I think so. I think so. I think it's, you know, I know how to pack really well and make friends quickly.
Great packer. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, you know, to have to say goodbye. You make friends and then know you may never see them again.
Yeah.
Although I have this fantasy now that everybody's on Facebook. I want to put an APB out for, you know, Makiko, who I went to school with in Rio. And we were having lunch one day, you know, at school. And then my mom just came and went, come on, Francis, get your things. We're leaving. It's like, oh, do I have a doctor's appointment? No, we're going back to the States. It's like, what? And, you know, my mom, God bless her. Maybe she had told me, but to me, I don't remember in my child's mind. I just remember being told we're leaving and we're not coming back.
Where do you think you get your acting ability from? Because it is extraordinary. I mean, there are not many people at that, you know, like whatever your training or whatever, there's not many people that are at the level that you've gotten to. What do you ascribe that to?
I just like to make believe.
Yeah.
And
always have?
Yeah, yeah. I was doing plays in my parents' living room with my little brother, you know, ever since I can remember. I'm just disappointed that none of my comedy stuff, of course, you know, the Home Improvement thing was a disaster because the character wasn't funny. it was all for Tim, which is fine, but I wish they had told me because I was really funny in the audition because they wrote me the jokes.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
That aside, I mean, all my comedy stuff never seems to go anywhere. So everybody thinks like I'm really dramatic and a dramatic actress only, but I really am funny.
Well, I think this will shatter all of that.
Yeah.
This whole thing with your fucking half dead Japanese internment camp dogs. I think this will I just think you're fantastic. I always have. But do you mind my asking, because I am an elderly single loser who lives in my basement? So you were married once before and then to Clint. Tell us about your life now. Are you in love? Are you dating? Do you want that? Do you care?
No.
That was a long stage slide,
Sean. No, well, I looked up and I thought your father looks a lot like Kevin Spacey for a moment there.
Oh, yes,
you know?
Yes.
No, I'm not dating. Nobody asks me out. So
really?
That, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't that hard? Like, a hot, you know, successful actor of a certain age. People are like, oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe everybody is married or gay, but
what's your type?
I have no type. I have really bad taste in men, obviously. So I don't trust myself.
I don't trust myself either. I'm just saying, Francis Fisher, maybe this is the time where you and I go to the bow of the Titanic and say,
we're the queens of the world.
We're the queens of the world. Maybe there's no penises involved. Maybe with a... Look at that fucking blue diamond fuck... Whatever the fuck it is. Who cares? I'll do it.
Coming on to me?
Yes! Fuck, what? Was this subtle? Jesus. I mean, any lesbian, you played a lesbian in a movie, that must mean if you played it,
you planted that seed in her mind.
I played a black person, too, in Patty
Hearst.
All right,
and you're not black is what your point is? God damn it.
But I support Black Lives Matter.
Why must you kill all my dreams? You're not black? What? God damn it, Princess Fisher. All right. How do we help you and follow you and adore you in a, you know, a pervy way like I am and a non-pervy way? How do we do that? I just touched myself.
Following me?
I touched my nipples.
Well, I'm not going to tell you tell your audience what kind of car I drive.
Okay.
But no, I just took the Bernie signs down. It's all right. Time.
But we're going to put a thing up to whatever you're doing on our Facebook page and on our website.
What I'm doing, like my Twitter thing and all that?
Yeah, look how giving she is. She just showed up in my fucking basement like I'm a creepy woman, not to even promote anything. But okay, I just thought you would want to
promote something. Okay, something. Oh, you know, well, I'm doing the American Girl Melody thing. I don't know when it's coming
out. We'll do it on the regular show when it comes out.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's, you know, with oh my God, here I go. With that cute little girl from Black-ish.
Yes.
Who I just met yesterday.
She's fantastic.
Yes. I'm going to do that tomorrow, next couple of days.
All right.
Then I'm rehearsing a play at the Geffen that's going to open.
Which is
September
why we had
14th.
To do this now.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
What is
it's called Barbecue. Barbecue. I play white trash. Family, we're going to have an intervention on Barbara, who's a crack addict, and we are going to get her and make her right.
Never, ever think of you like that. And
yeah.
Do we have In the Arms of the Angels again? Oh. Because, and also, once again, if you give just a penny a day, these dogs might actually get off their fucking asses and do something at some point in their lives for Francis Fisher, rather than, look at... Oh, hi. Oh, you're up now? Oh, you're up now. Hi. Yeah, the show's over.
Show's over. Now he's going to get active.
Good to see you. What the fuck is happening with these dogs? Oh. little tongue.
You got to get the video cast.
Yeah, that's my tongue I get.
Yeah, that dog just shoved its tongue in Francis' mouth. Okay. All right. Oh, I so want to be you, dog. Okay. I'm just kidding. Oh, my God. I don't mean to be creepy. I don't mean to be creepy, Francis. I just think you're a fantastic actress. Oh, my God. What am I doing, Sean? Frances Fisher, actress extraordinaire, activist extraordinaire, American extraordinaire. So fucking amazing to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Let's go drink.
Let's go do it.